And so let's turn in our Bibles tonight to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. Now, one thing I'm very thankful for, we have not missed one Bible study. We've been going right along in the book of Galatians, and we are coming near the end of it pretty quickly. So I desire your prayers that I would know where the Lord would have us to go next as far as studying books of the Bible. I love to study the books of the Bible, and I would like to go right into another one if the Lord leads me to do that. But I don't have any one book on my mind more than another, but I'd really like to go into another study of one of the books of the Bible. So if the Lord leads that way, or he may lead another way, I don't know, but just help me pray about that. Galatians chapter number 6, we've had prayer. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 6 through 10. This is what we're going to look at tonight. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 6. The Bible said, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." And so we're going to look down through these verses tonight, and I hope it'll be a blessing as we look, and I pray the Holy Spirit of God would speak to our hearts and open up his word and let us take something home tonight that will be a help and a blessing to us. Now, if you go back to verse number 1, look what the Bible says there. He says, "Brethren," brethren. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the brethren. I've never noticed this before, but if you have a Scofield Study Bible, he's got some pretty good headings there above this. He says, "Brethren," or verse number 1 says, "Brethren," but Scofield Study Bible says verse number 1 is the case of a sinning brother. We looked at that a few Wednesday nights ago. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And we looked at that. Then he said verses 2 through 5 was the case of a burdened brother. We looked at this last Wednesday night. Verse number 2 said, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." And then verse number 5, it says, "For everyone shall bear his own burden." And so we looked at that, what that means in the Bible. You know, one verse it says, "Bear one another's burdens." The next three verses down, it says, "Every man shall bear his own burden." There's no contradiction there. And we went over that and talked about what the Bible is actually talking about. Now, what we're going to look at tonight is the case of a teaching brother. A teaching brother. And starting in verse number 6. Verse number 6 is tied in with verse number 10. This one section. And so think about this. The Apostle Paul, he's writing to the Galatians. He's written this letter. It's about justification by faith. And they've been listening to the legalizers and all of those things. But what's Paul doing here? He's summing up. He's trying to finish up. You know, he's a preacher. He's writing a letter. And he's putting some things in there to help the Galatian churches. And so he talks about this matter of a teaching brother. And verse 6 and verse 10 are tied in together by the word "good." If you look at verse 6, it said, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." And I'll explain what that means in verse number 6. But in verse number 10, he comes back to this good subject. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So he's talking about your brothers and your sisters in the Lord, those who are in the household of faith. We might say those who are in the church together. And so these verses are all tied together. Now, we're going to start in verse number 6. And the Bible says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now, I've been studying, trying to study ahead some and think about a week or 2 weeks ahead, you know, what I'm coming up to and what I'm going to preach on. And just to be honest tonight, I've never really understood verse number 6. That's always been hard for me to understand for some reason. And I've looked at it and read it and thought about it, and I know some things about it, so what the words mean and things like that. But I was reading in a commentary, Brother Oliver B. Green, and some of you, you know, he used to be on the radio. Of course, he's gone on to be with the Lord a long time ago now, but he has a great series of commentaries on the Bible. And I was reading his commentary about this verse, and he said the word communicate means to share. Well, that means to give to somebody. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about sharing, giving to another. And he had this sentence in there, and it said this: the hearers are commanded to share with the teachers. And I don't think I've ever really looked at it like that, that is what that's talking about. The hearers of the Word of God, those who are recipients of a teacher's ministry, are to share with the teachers. They're to communicate with the teachers. So what is that talking about? It's talking about how a church ought to care for her teachers, her pastors, the missionaries, the evangelists. That is simply what that is talking about. And you know, I've just never saw it that simple before. I think, like I told somebody the other day, I said, you're overthinking it. Overthinking what this is saying. I've been overthinking it, but it's really very simple what it's talking about. Now, I know there's a missionary connection in verses 8 and 9. I've actually used that maybe in a missions conference and preaching on faith promise missions or along those lines. I've heard Brother Stennett Ballou preach on verse number 8 there and talk about missions and how that applies to missions. But, you know, if you just take things in context, which I talk about quite a bit, verse number 6 just ties right in. It's talking about the same kinds of things there. And so verse number 6, when it says, let him that is taught in the word. So let's look at it like this. You're taught by a pastor, a missionary, evangelist. Let him that is taught in the word communicate, give unto him, share unto him that teacheth. That's the one that's doing the teaching in all good things. Now we find this teaching all through the Bible, and I'll be honest tonight, teaching on this is hard for me to teach on because a lot of people think, oh, preacher, just all he talks about is money and stuff like that. And so it's hard. It's hard to teach on it, preach on it, but guess what? It's in the Bible. I mean, we want to know what the Bible says about everything. We ought to. And we find this principle all through the Bible. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, Paul is talking over there to the church at Corinth, and he said, who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges? So what's he saying over there? The soldier doesn't pay his own way to go to war. Well, that would be silly. Nobody goes to war and pays their own way. The government feeds them and clothes them and gives them guns and bullets and all those things. He said, who planteth a vineyard and eateth not the fruit thereof? You got a garden? Is anybody going to plant a garden this year? If, the weather and everything, if you get a chance and you have some tomatoes and cucumbers, you wouldn't say, I better not. You planted it. You put the labor into it. Of course, you're going to have the tomatoes and cucumbers and all of that stuff. That's what Paul's saying. He said, or who feedeth a flock and eateth not the milk thereof? You take care of sheep, you've got some cows, and you're not going to get any milk. You're not going to have some veal every once in a while. No, he said that wouldn't make any sense. We just understand that's the way life is. He goes on in verse number 8 and he talks about the law. He talks about in verse number 9. He said, for it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. And so when they were out there and they were working in the time of the harvest, and the ox is pulling the what we might call a threshing machine along, the ox, he said, don't put a muzzle on the ox. The ox needs to eat. He's working there in the field. Don't put a muzzle on him. So all those things, the law in the Old Testament, the New Testament. And then Paul goes on and he said this, doth God take care for oxen? Does God care about the ox eating the corn? Yes, he does. And guess what? He cares about those that minister the word of God as well, that they should be taken care of. And many verses in the Bible teach the same thing. I'm not going to spend a lot of time. 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18 uses the same, talking about the muzzle in the mouth of the ox. It says that the pastor, the bishop, is worthy of double honor. If you look up that word honor there, it means pay. Literally, that's what it's talking about. And it says, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. So especially those that teach and preach God's word. I don't know about you, but I count it a great benefit to learn from God's word. I mean, it's a blessing when somebody teaches me something from God's word, and I see something and I say, man, I've never seen that, or God used that to speak to my heart. That is a great spiritual benefit. Paul is talking in the book of Romans chapter 15, verse 27. He said, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. And so Paul said, if they're reaping a spiritual benefit, they ought to return a carnal or a physical benefit to those that they've got something from. So what's all that talking about? You know, years ago, churches and people in general were much poorer than they are today. I mean, compared to history, I would say we're pretty rich. We're pretty blessed. But those of you that know anything, those of you by age or by reading or whatever, years ago, churches were much poorer, and there were more churches than pastors to go around. So most pastors, they pastored two churches, three churches, sometimes four churches at a time. They may have to ride a horse across a mountain to get to a church to preach. And they get over there and people were poor and they didn't have very much. What would the churches do? They would communicate to them in good things. You know, they'd take the preacher home for dinner on Sunday. The book I've got, 50 Years in Christ's Service by R.C. Eggers, he talked about in that book that somebody gave him a pair of socks. A pair of socks years ago. And he said, and oh, how they did help me. And he talked about, do you know what it would be like to be riding along and your feet froze in the stirrups? I'll be honest, I can imagine. It'd be tough. They communed unto them. You know, we give sometimes the preacher or pastor a pounding. And some people, when they hear that, they're not familiar with it. They think they're going to pound on the preacher. But what that comes from, years ago, they would try to be a blessing to the pastor and give him a pounding. And what was generally given would be a pound of salt, a pound of sugar, a pound of flour. And, you know, everybody gathered up and they gave the preacher something. Why were they doing that? They were doing what they could to communicate good things to those that ministered the word of God to them. That is what that means. Somebody asked me, they said, during the COVID and everything and churches being closed down, and Kim was looking at something last Sunday, I believe it was, and somebody put something on Facebook about some church being open, and man, people started throwing off. Somebody had put something like this. I'm not quoting verbatim, but Kim was telling me about it. They had put, yeah, the preachers, they have to open the churches up because they've got a Cadillac payment to make. Some people are just ignorant about how things are. The churches weren't open, but any church that is worth going to took care of their pastors. I'm sure of that. I've not heard of any pastors that said, we have to have church because I have to get paid. You know, God's people take care of God's men. We know that a soldier doesn't go to war and pay his own way. And if you have a garden, you eat out of the garden. And if you have cattle, you have good hamburger in the freezer. You know, that's just life. If we receive something, we give something. That is what the Bible is teaching. And I don't know why that is so hard to teach on. I guess it's the way society talks and throws off and all of those things. But the facts about it is, the Bible teaches we should communicate good things to those that teach. So that's all verse number 6 is saying there. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And all this time I have looked at that verse number 6 and thought, you know, what does that mean? Well, it's very simple what it means. Verse number 7, he says this, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now, God in his creation made some natural laws. And one of those natural laws, which everybody understands all the way around the world, they understand, or they should understand, this law of sowing and reaping. That's God's law. There are some things that that's just God's law. That's just the way it is. God made it that way. God's universal law of sowing and reaping, all cultures understand this. Everybody in the world can understand this. And so what is this God's law of sowing and reaping? And I'll give you just a few things. You've probably heard it all before, but one of the laws of sowing and reaping, or as it says there, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. We planted garden this week. We put out some cucumbers and tomatoes and spaghetti squash and beans and things like that. And you know, right down that row of beans, there was nothing else come up there. I mean, I'm not expecting corn to come up where we put the beans. There won't be potatoes come up where we planted those bean seeds. Out of those bean seeds, beans will come. You reap what you sow. That is a universal law. Put down grass seed, you're going to get grass. You reap more than you sow. I gave Chloe the job. Said, here's your job. 2 beans in the ground, 1.5 feet apart, whatever it was. Send her down the road. Those 2 beans, if the Lord blesses, grows, will come thousands of beans. You reap more than you sow. You don't put a bean seed in the ground and get a new one down the road. We all understand that. We reap according to what we sow. You sow a little, you'll get a little. You sow a lot, you'll get a lot. Dad and I were, you know how you cover your garden up in the fall, put a cover crop. Dad's going along like he's sprinkling salt. I was throwing it out. I wanted to get done, you know. I want a big crop. You reap according. And the only reason I told that, I know I've told it before, but if I said that and didn't tell it, Dad'd say, why didn't you tell about that? We reap in the future. And we plant a garden. And we planted on Monday. It's Wednesday. I bet I've been back in the garden 6 times. I can't wait. I'm just down there watching. I want to see how it's doing. But you know what? It's just going to take a while. But in the future, we will reap, Lord willing. We reap in the future. You may not reap right now. Talking about something bad in your life. You know, you do something. You may not reap the bad out of that for a while, but you will reap it. We reap in the future. So we look at verse 7. Usually we think of that in a negative sense, and it is right to look at that in a negative sense because it is written in a negative sense. What I mean by that, it said, be not deceived. You're not going to trick the Lord, neither am I. Don't you think You know, we say sometimes sin and get by, there's no such thing. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You're not going to sin and get by. Nobody's going to sin and get by. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, whatsoever. That's a good one to underline in that verse. And that's there's also a positive thing there, because if we'll see on that in verse number 8, if you sow to the good, guess what? You reap the good. But whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. It doesn't work in the physical world that we say, you know, I'm going to live one way and go down one road and reap only good things down the road. We don't expect that. That's not how it works in the physical or the spiritual world. We reap whatsoever we sow. If whatever our habit or sin or whatever it is in our life, we're going to reap it down the road. If it's going down the road of, you know, a lot of times people talk about, well, young people, they're going to sow their wild oats, and you know, that they need to do that. No, it'd be way better not to do that. Because if you sow wild oats and you can put anything under that heading you want to, guess what? You're going to reap that. It'd be far better. Somebody said experience is the best teacher. No, it's not. No, it's not. Absolutely not. But we say that. We hear that. Well, experience is the best teacher. No, it's not. Read the book of Proverbs. In the book of Proverbs, the best teacher is this. Go to the ant there, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. The best way to learn is by observation and listening. Don't do that. Look what will happen to you if you do. That's a whole lot better than doing it. Don't touch that electric fence. It'll shock you. Okay, I believe you. That's a whole lot better than, I don't know if it will or not. It'll shock you all right. The way of wisdom is to listen and observe and order your life according to that. Experience is a hard teacher. We've all learned things by experience, and yes, you can learn by experience, but it doesn't come without scars and bruises and everything else that goes along with it. He said in verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Going into verse number 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. So you sow bad things, you'll reap bad things. Whatever. Soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If we went back into chapter number 5 and verse 19 down through verse number 21, and we said there is the works of the flesh in verse number 19, and if you read down through there, one of those is anger, hatred, wrath, strife, all of these things. If you grow up and the only way you know how to handle things is by being angry and getting mad, guess what? That's exactly how your children will handle stuff. That's what you'll reap. So if we sow to the flesh, you go back to those works of the flesh, whatever down through that list that you sow to, you will reap those things. You'll reap what you sow, more than you sow, according to you sow, and in the future, and on and on. And I'll tell you, as a parent, it is hard to look at your child and see them do something. And you see an action or an attitude or something like that, and you see that in them, and you say, that is ugly. But I know where they got it from. You see yourself in your child. It's a humbling thing. And I could try to be funny about it and say, Kim, you know, I've seen my kids do some things that they learned from me. That's hard. So if you sow to the flesh, you'll of the flesh reap corruption. I think we all understand that. Now, like this in the middle of verse number 8, in this little three-letter word in the Bible, it's a great word, but. That's a many places in the Bible, there's a divine interjection. And so God changes things. But it's not all bad news. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So you sow to the Spirit, you sow good things, you reap good things. This verse is usually used in relation to missions, to getting the gospel out, going into all the world. And there is definitely an application there in that. We as God's people ought to be sowing in good things. The gospel's good news. The Spirit of God, what's the first thing the Spirit of God did when he manifested himself in great power on the day of Pentecost? I just preached on that. Man, people got saved. So did the Spirit. The Bible says that we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So basically in this life, we can have rot and rust, or we can send treasures on ahead. And let me tell you, there's a lot of rot and rust in the world. We live out on Kent, and I'm not throwing off, people have things and have had to have things all down through the years. But you know, where we live in this area, barns all over the place. You ever drive by and say, wonder what's in that barn? I'll tell you, a bunch of junk, bunch of rust, bunch of stuff you can't use anymore. Buckets of nails, and I'm talking about at my house now, buckets of nails, bent. Man, used to, they didn't throw anything away. Old, now I don't understand this, broken tools. What can you do with a pair of pliers that one of the handles is broke off? Throw it at, I don't know. But we can either surround ourselves with rot and rust and things that don't matter, or there's another option, we can send it on ahead. You know, people talk about their IRA and retirement account and the stock market and all like that. No deal on this earth is going to be like what God offers. They talk about ROI, return on investment. You wait till you see. Wait till we get to heaven. If you've sent anything on ahead, it's going to be of much more value than any of us thought it was. And I think when we get to heaven, we'll say, boy, I wish I'd have done more. Wish I'd have done more. How do we sow to the Spirit? It says, he that soweth to the Spirit. Well, how do we do that? Look in verse number 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing. How do we sow to the Spirit? Well, it's got something to do with this well-doing. Doing well, communicating good. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It's a lot of good to be done. A lot of well-doing to be done. That's one way to sow to the Spirit. Well-doing, doing well, doing good, good works. There's a lot of things come under that heading. Sowing to the Spirit would be manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in our own personal lives. If we went back to chapter 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. All those things being manifested in our life, God's able to use it to bring forth good fruit in our lives. Sowing to the things of the Spirit, the work of the gospel. Look over just a few pages, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Just a few pages in Philippians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul's writing to the church at Philippi. Philippi was a great missionary church. And he told the church at Philippi in chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, he said, "For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity." So Paul was ministering in this place called Thessalonica, and the church at Philippi helped him, communicated to him, helped him in his ministry. In verse 17 he said, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." So what they sent to the Apostle Paul, he used it in the ministry, but God put fruit on their account. They'll reap down the road. I remember the first time that ever really, really dawned on me, and I was pastoring over at Forest Grove, and we had a missionary from the Philippines, and he had brought a young man with him that had gotten saved under this missionary's ministry. And the young man stood up and gave his testimony, and the Lord spoke to my heart and showed me how we had had a part in that young man getting saved. What a blessing. And so getting the gospel out so that people can be saved. All those are the way that we sow to the Spirit. Verse number 9, the Bible says this, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I was studying this last Sunday afternoon. You know, I was, of course, there's nothing on TV to watch anymore. I did watch the 1988 World Series the other night, and I'd missed that. I was in England, you know, when Kirk Gibson hit that home run of Dodgers and A's, I think it was. But anyway, I told him, I said, "I missed that. I was glad to see that." So Sunday afternoon, I said, "I'm going to get my Bible and I'm going to get my commentaries and just sit out on the porch and read a little bit." And so I was sitting out there Sunday afternoon, I was reading, and I come down to verse number 9 and just studying, meditating on this, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." Weary. Do you ever get weary in well-doing? Sure you do. Because we're in the flesh, we're emotional creatures, we have days we feel good, we feel bad, whatever the case might be. Sometimes we get weary in well-doing. Sometimes we think in our minds, you know, "I'm not doing any good. There's no use in this. I'm wasting my time." Can become weary in well-doing. Preachers get that way, and I've felt that way before. I'm sure Brother Jackson, Brother Bill, you know, I preach. Nothing ever happens. Nobody's listening. Not doing any good. Singers, I'm sure, feel that way. I go to church and I try to sing in the choir and be a blessing, and boy, I just don't know if anybody gets anything out of it. I'm sure singers feel that way. I'm sure Sunday school teachers feel that way. I'm sure people in your personal life, you say, you know, I've prayed, and it seems like nothing ever happens. Here's what the Bible says. Be not weary in well-doing. Don't quit. Keep on. I heard a song right before we come to church tonight, the Rochesters, and it was along those lines. Keep on. Keep doing. And the Bible said in verse 9, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season." That's good. It's got to have time to bear fruit. I was talking about being in the garden. In due season. You know, you go and you get a pack of beans, and it might say on that 60 to 65 days to maturity. Wouldn't that be good if you'd start praying for somebody and you could expect in about 65 days they get saved? That's not how spiritual work is. Spiritual work doesn't have a maturity date on it, except the Lord knows what it is. But I'll tell you this, in due season, in God's timing, look what the Bible says, we shall reap if, you ought to circle that, underline that, we shall reap if we faint not. Don't give up. It's a challenge sometimes to say, you know, I just want to throw in the towel. I just want to give up. This person is never going to get saved. Nothing's ever going to change. No, the Bible said in due season, we shall reap. That is a promise. We shall reap if we faint not. And so I was studying that Sunday afternoon, and I'd been out there a little while, and it'd been raining, believe it or not. And it finally cleared off a little bit, and we said, let's go on a walk. Let's go on a walk real quick. Get a walk in. This is about 5:30, 6 o'clock, somewhere around in there. So we get our tennis shoes on, we walk up the road, and we go up Forest Grove Road, and we went up to the church up there, and we turned around, and we're coming back down, and I was lagging behind just a little bit, behind Kim and Chloe, and by the time I caught back up with them, I looked down the road and they're walking along and arm in arm together. I caught up with them. Kim looked at me, pointed at Chloe, and Chloe had told Kim, said, she'd been real quiet as we were walking along. And she told Kim, she said, can I just be honest? Kim said, yeah. She didn't know what she was going to say. She said, I just need to be saved. And so we're there. She got saved right in front of Tammy and Charles's house. Prayed and asked the Lord to save her right there. And the Lord brought my mind back to verse 9. In due season we shall reap if we faint not. Seems like sometimes it takes a long time. And I was just preaching that Sunday morning. Those of you that were here, was I not saying that same thing? What's wrong with these people if they're not getting saved? Well, they will if we faint not. What a blessing. I'm glad I didn't faint. I mean, she didn't get saved because of me, but I was glad I preached that morning. I was glad I was faithful to try to preach what God laid on my heart and have down through the years. What a blessing. We shall reap if we faint not. Keep on. We might be like sometimes you're hoeing in the garden, you get down to the last row. You said we're in the short rows now. We're just about done. That's the one we've been looking for. Maybe we're just about there. Maybe the Lord's going to come soon. What a blessing. He said in verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And so verse number 6 is talking about good things. And verse number 10 says again to do good. So here's the bookends on God's law, universal law of sowing and reaping. Do good. Do good. I'm not saying do good to be saved, but saved people ought to do good. Well, you ought to. If you're saved, you ought to be characterized by good. Look what the Bible says, a couple of things, and I'll be done. As we have therefore opportunity. That is a great word to meditate on. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good. Now, in the business world, you know, they're always looking for opportunity. In the business world. Man, that'd be a great opportunity. Why don't you invent this? That'd be a great opportunity. Why don't you start a creamery? Why don't somebody in here start an ice cream store over in Bethel? Boy, that'd be a blessing. That'd be a great opportunity. You'd make a lot of money doing that. And we'd make a lot. We'd gain a lot, too. We tried out the new one in Mountain City the other night, and I told Kim, I said, now, when we go back tomorrow night, I'm getting such and such. Everybody's always looking for a great opportunity in their business. People are looking for great opportunities in their educational life. You know, if you could go to school over there, that'd be a great opportunity. If you go to this trade school and you could get your degree in such and such, what a great opportunity. People are always looking for all kinds of opportunities. Oh, if you could get that next promotion and you could go here and do this, that would be a great opportunity. Here's the thing about opportunities. Opportunity is not constant. It is not always there. The word opportunity does not mean that. The word opportunity, it literally means an occasion or occasional. Opportunities are not always there, but they come along occasionally in a moment in time. And when opportunity comes to do good, well, we ought to jump on it. As we have therefore opportunity, the Bible says, let us do good unto all men. Say, preacher, what's that mean? Well, that means all men. Do good. Who's your neighbor? You know, they asked the Lord Jesus that, trying to trap him. Well, it's very plain. Let us do good unto all men, the Bible says. But it says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we need to be looking out for opportunities. We ought to be spiritual opportunists. Just like some business people or entrepreneurs, they're always looking out for the next best thing. We ought to be spiritually looking out for an opportunity to do well, to do good, to minister. And then look what it says, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Who is that? Well, you go back to chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren. Brethren, those are the ones that are of the household of faith. And so the brethren, what to be looking out for. And so Paul, he's winding it up, he's closing down, he's coming down to the end. Still great things he's talking about, but he's winding up. This is about the first time he's not talked about what he talked about for the first five chapters, the legalist and all of these things. He's talking to the brethren. And so we'll continue on, Lord willing, next week in verse number 11. But there's some great things there for us to think about and study about. I hope it's a help to you. I hope it's a blessing to you. And so we'll close with that tonight. We are going to take some prayer requests in a few minutes. We've got a few matters of business. Won't take but just a few minutes to take care of that. So I want to say to those watching on Facebook, especially our household of faith, our brethren, that we love them. We miss everybody being together at church. But it's good that we have this opportunity to do this way. So anybody that'd like to comment, put a prayer request on that, we will mention that in a few minutes. So I'm going to cut the camera off here in just a moment. Like I said, we're going to have a business meeting in just a few minutes. Chloe, you want to come up and maybe give your testimony tonight, because this might come up in business that somebody wanted to be baptized and join the church. I'm sorry if I stole your thunder.
Well, I was saved Sunday, May 24th, and as he said, we were on a walk, and when we were walking, just about halfway there, I felt like I was going to fall over, because I just felt so burdened, and I just felt... and so when we got to the point, I told Mom that I needed to be saved, and when we got to Miss Tammy and Mr. Charles' house, I got saved.
Amen. 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 Thank you. And she's talked about it every day. Amen. Thank you. All right. I told her we probably wouldn't come around and give the right hand of fellowship and all like that. But we will at a point in the future. All right. So let's go ahead and we'll...